You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin Wakes Up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:06 right now. We hope that you are having a great start to your Tuesday. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. We'd love to hear from you. People are chiming in all over. That is great. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Time for some headlines. Mm-hmm. We'll start with the war, which is now in its eighth week. President Trump does not appear open to Iran's proposal to end the war, sources said. A proposal would reopen the Strait of Hormuz, but leave questions about Tehran's nuclear program for later negotiations. Iran's foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi, previously gave Pakistan a list of red lines to be conveyed to the U.S., according to state media.
Also this morning, Vladimir Putin said that he received a message last week from Iran's new supreme leader, who has not been seen since he was announced as his late father's successor. Putin made the remarks in a meeting with Araghchi in Russia, where they discussed the war. Is anybody else a little unsettled that now Vladimir Putin and Iran are in constant communication and the two supreme leaders are constantly talking? I feel like we're pushing things in the wrong direction as the United States.
Right, but I've been concerned about that since it came out in, what, week two, that they were, that Russia was giving coordinates of our service members to Iran. So I, you know, you trust nobody.
It feels like also, they're getting friendlier.
Unfortunately, they are getting friendlier. China is now, you know, has no reason to negotiate with us about things because we're cutting off their oil. So they're suffering because of this. I don't trust Russia or Iran. It's not that they're, but unfortunately, I don't have confidence in our own government and I don't trust what they're telling us. So again, where is the off ramp? We don't seem to have one.
No.
And as we mentioned yesterday, when you decide to not even send people to negotiate, that is not a good sign. And when you tell the press, I have all the time in the world. And then compare this war to Vietnam, Korea, and World War II. I'm like, oh, brother, World War II is a biggie.
We know that the United States is being abandoned by its allies to a certain degree on certain issues. We also know that certain countries don't trust U.S. intelligence. So that should be frightening. But now it seems like we're pushing the wrong allies together while we keep isolating ourselves from the allies that we should be trusting. And I think that should make everybody pause a little bit as to the direction that things are going as we proceed. Because it doesn't seem like our allies are on board with a lot of what's happening in the Middle East. And here we are kind of on our own little island right now, so to speak.
Well, to your point, Germany's leader, Friedrich Merz, said the U.S. is being, quote, humiliated by Iran as he criticized Washington's attempt to extricate itself from the war.
And finally, President Trump appears to be relying on the U.S. blockade of Iran's ports to pressure Tehran to cave to his demands. That's according to the Iran project director at the International Crisis Group think tank. Now, this group said, quote, President Trump seems to believe that the U.S. blockade on Iran is working and will bring Iran to its knees in the coming days, if not weeks, and therefore he can finally get Iran to surrender to his terms. Unfortunately, I think that has been the thought since this started, and that has not happened yet. It's made Iran dig in more.
Did not read the history of Iran or its wars and struggles and its ability to just buckle down, no matter the cost to itself or its citizens, and resist. And Donald Trump doesn't like when people resist. All right, well, that's news from the war, but as always, there is just a lot more you need to know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Yes, well, we had our one light moment with the White House Correspondents' Dinner attack earlier, but now we know more about the person who tried to carry it out. Cole Thomas Allen, a 31-year-old who worked as a teacher in Southern California, was charged yesterday with multiple counts at his initial court appearance. Those charges include attempting to assassinate the president. Prosecutors asked to detain him before trial, and a detention hearing has been set for April 30th. Allen appeared before a federal magistrate, was also charged with discharging a firearm during a violent crime and transportation of a firearm and ammunition in interstate commerce. Social media accounts linked to the 31-year-old Cole Thomas Allen let out that he shared posts comparing Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler and encouraged others critical of his presidency to purchase guns. That, according to a CNN review of two social media accounts that appeared to belong to him, the postings also echo arguments in a message Allen allegedly sent to family members before the attack that laid out a plan to target Trump administration officials and expressed anger over their actions. Now, investigators believe that the posts, as well as information taken from multiple electronic devices seized over the past few days, show Allen's animosity towards Trump and his administration. On X, in 2022, he was mostly posting about video games, encouraging users to check out his YouTube channel that had dozens of short videos about popular Nintendo games. But by 2024, archived tweets show him resharing political content from other users. Allen repeatedly retweeted posts on X comparing Trump to Hitler, as well as a post advocating for nullifying that year's election results. So somehow he became radicalized over those in that 2-year span, and it led to this.
I mean, once you cross a line, right, you're no longer participating in democracy. And essentially, in this case, as we talk about the fact that political violence in any vein is absolutely wrong, in cases like this, I think there needs to be a broader conversation about these online echo chambers, about how people go from simple disagreements to dehumanization to eventually acting in the way that we saw Allen do so.
And also the trip line, because let's be honest, most of us are fed up. We're inundated with news coverage. This administration doesn't give you a chance to breathe. There's always more, 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 more. And then, so you watch that on whatever news outlet you get your information from. Then you go online, like you said, and you tend to like and follow the opinions that back yours up.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us can get to that point where, as we're starting to feel this overwhelming sense that we have to do something, but we're rational enough to say, we can't resort to violence. We just have to hope that, you know, the elections are our tool. But some people don't have that stop. They blow through that stop sign, and that's where things get dangerous.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, you know, it just doesn't help that then you get these messages of solidarity from the same people who sow discord nonstop.
Yeah. And I think it's important to remember in moments like this that onslaught of information is actually a term that this administration leans into. Steve Bannon is one who has talked extensively about it. It's basically a machine gun mentality, and that's how they refer to it. It's that constant round of just overwhelming people with so much information that they can't stay focused on one thing, and they become so angry that eventually we get actions like we had over the weekend.
Actions like we have over the weekend, or complete checkout.
Yeah.
When people just get too tired, they're too exhausted to stay engaged. They're too tired to fight anymore. And so they just throw up their hands and hope for the best. And we've seen what that is getting us, and it's not good. So we have to, you got to fight that fatigue, no matter what side it's, no matter where it's coming from. You have to just, we all should be smart enough to take a step back and realize what's good for us, for you as an individual, for you as a voter, for your family, for your community, and make your decisions that way. But it is easy to just wrap yourself in like-minded commentary, and then you feel like you're not as crazy because, look, I'm not the only one who thinks this. There's so many people. When in reality, the algorithm is sending you the same people. There's not...
And sometimes
no opinion has that many no opinion has universal support.
And here's the other thing. Sometimes they're just bots. And that's the other thing we forget because of the algorithms and how social media, how social media now operates. So it literally becomes a one-sided echo chamber. And it's unfortunate that so many people get sucked into that because it happens. It happens more times than we care to even probably admit in our current state of social media and online worlds. In other headlines today, stuff you need to know, more talk about data centers because Wisconsin is poised to forego more than $2 billion in sales tax revenue to subsidize hyperscale data centers built by trillion-dollar companies such as Microsoft and Meta. Were we just talking about social media? Weird.
Yeah.
Data centers were granted a sales tax exemption in the 2023-25 state budget, which was approved by the Republican-controlled legislature and Democratic Governor Tony Evers as a way to attract economic development to the state. Now, that means that the $1 billion data center in Beaver Dam, a $20 billion complex mm-hmm. in Mount Pleasant, and a $15 billion facility in Port Washington, and remind you, I'm saying billion with B's here this morning, do not have to pay the 5% state sales tax or local sales taxes on purchases for constructing and equipping these facilities. Now, when the budget passed in July of 2023, the scale of the data center boom was so uncertain that the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau did not estimate how much state revenue would be foregone under the exemption, aside from some sort of hypothetical example. But now a Fiscal Bureau projection is in. The state will be out $1.5 billion in foregone state sales tax revenue during construction, which can take years, plus $369 million annually once the facilities are built. The estimates apply to the hyperscale data centers under construction in Beaver Dam and Port Washington, as well as the facilities under construction or being planned in Mount Pleasant. A much smaller EPIC project in Verona is also part of this estimate. So not only are our utilities going up as taxpayers in this state, and not only are we worried about the infrastructure, the noise pollution that the construction will cause, the all-night construction in some cases, as we've heard, but now we actually, as residents of the state, don't reap any of the benefits of the sales tax that these facilities would potentially bring to the state.
Well, there goes the surplus that the budgetary surplus that we have. If we're not bringing in that much money from sales tax, we've already allocated that kind of money.
Wow.
We got to go to the surplus. That is again short-sighted thinking on the part of our governments
mm-hmm.
to look at this and think that kind of money can be just pushed aside. We'll forego that sales tax money for X amount of years. And then we'll make a little bit back, but even once the center's open, we're still going to be losing money.
Right.
Now, I'm sure people who would argue with these numbers are going to say, yeah, but what will the data centers bring in to the community?
We don't know.
Of course we don't know.
We don't know.
We do know that there won't be as many jobs once they're open as during construction. So we know that. We know that they're not selling anything. They're not really generating anything.
We know that the energy demand goes up. We know that the water usage changes.
Yes.
We know that there's now infrastructure and concerns in some areas, which lead to environmental concerns. So obviously there's going to be ripple effects. It's not going to stay in just one community.
No, it is not. Well, we have another story that we will move to next, stuff you need to know, because it is almost time for Swiper Stay. Oh, man. Now, I'll tell you, Jamie's trying to steal this bit. Before the show, she's doing all kind of entertainment news. Poor Frank, I don't know how he's going to find something new, but he will. Swiper Stay. After this, it's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and thank you so much for having us on today. This is the Civic Media Network, 722 right now, and it is time for Swipe or Stay. This is where we put aside the politics for just a little bit, and we talk more about pop culture with our senior producer, Frank. How are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. You know, we just had a riveting conversation off air about data centers. So if that doesn't get the juices flowing, I don't know what will.
It's always riveting when we talk about data centers because they're not going away, unfortunately.
I'm so tired of data centers. Let's do some pop culture headlines, Frank.
This is fun stuff.
It is. So if you're unfamiliar with this segment, this is the segment where I read some vague pop culture headlines. Jamie then shouts out that she knows what this story is. And then they both decide whether or not to stay on the story or swipe onto the next one.
Because unlike Parker and myself, who see entertainment headlines and don't read the story because we know you're developing this bit every day, Jamie reads them and before the show gives us a complete breakdown on all of the stories.
Sorry.
And it's like, stop.
It's all right. She's just excited.
I am.
I understand. Let the kid have some excitement in her life.
Right.
That's what I
know. She goes to Disney one time, and now she's full of whimsy.
It's all of this or
too much whimsy.
Either this or data centers, guys. So
truly, in the event of a tie, as always, producer Parker will be the tiebreaker. So let's move on. As Google signed me out yet again.
That's fun.
Literally.
I had that this morning, too.
Good time.
I did, too.
Goodness.
Yeah, it must be their day to make sure that you are who you are.
Oh, we've got to verify you today at the most inconvenient time absolutely
possible. The only time
that
it tells me to.
Are you back in? Did you remember your password?
We are in.
Okay, all right.
Let's go.
I'm not going to beat around the bush with this one. Harry Styles is engaged.
I heard this story at 5:55.
I don't care what you heard.
We have to stay.
I don't
care. We have to stay.
Somebody told me all about it. I'll stay.
After a couple days of speculation, it is now confirmed that Harry Styles is engaged to actress Zoe Kravitz. The couple was first seen together in August of last year, spending time together while in Rome, where they have more privacy, according to a source.
Oh.
Styles is 32 and Kravitz is 37. A bit smaller of an age gap than the 10-year gap between Styles and his previous girlfriend, Olivia Wilde. But Harry Styles has always loved the older women.
Nice.
And this proves true.
All right. Well, good for them. Mazel tov.
Yeah, it's great. If he runs into her ex, which would be Channing Tatum, that I'm going to tell you exactly who I'm picking in that fight.
Oh, yes.
Do you think celebrities don't seem to be, because celebrities move on so quickly to other new paramours,
I don't think Channing Tatum has.
I think he's still very
much. I don't think Channing Tatum has.
No, I think
he was married for a long time.
Yeah. This is one of those to me that was always a weird pairing, and both of them have very long, sordid love lives, and Zoe Kravitz has had multiple marriages. I'm skeptical they even make it, or if they down the aisle, because it's just their history. Neither one of them are like really super
from
committed.
Whimsy to love assassin,
made for monogamy.
Wow, yeah, they're really cow. Not. They're really not. I don't know. I wish the happy couple the best. That's all I'm going to say.
Frank, do you have a story that Jamie didn't ruin earlier today?
I think so.
All right, let's see.
We have a country music star that is fighting fans on Twitter, or X, as it's now called.
Oh, I hope the sentences ended with fighting fans. That's now I'm 100% in. I'll stay.
I think a good Twitter war is always good. We'll stay.
Country star Zach Bryan is not a stranger when it comes to controversy.
No.
This time, it's for an exchange with a fan on X, or formerly Twitter. Bryan had to shorten his show at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Nebraska due to lightning. Okay. He put out a statement saying, "I'm sorry for cutting the set short tonight. Lightning came in fast. We only missed the last 6 songs. I love you guys. The rain was a blast." One fan wrote, "What a scum response to a fan who probably waited all night to see you and the opening artist. I paid over $1,000 to see this show and waited in my car for over 4 hours. Minimal communication by the stadium and Zach Bryan himself. Ridiculous. Bryan then called that person a Karen for that response. So what do you guys think?
That was the fight?
Here's the thing.
He called multiple people Karens on Twitter.
If it's outdoor venues, they always cancel the show. because if there's lightning involved, they have to. It's a safety thing. You don't want people struck by lightning at your venue. This isn't new. And if you paid over
$1,000, you're a sap.
Yeah.
But here's what I will say. If I miss the last six songs of a set, we all know all six of those songs are more likely than not the songs.
Still.
Right, but...
Would you want your money back?
No, not no. If the show went on long enough. It's
you
part
can't
of the
prevent
deal.
Mother
Sorry.
Nature. If yeah, it's an it's outdoor not his show, fault. And look at the forecast. It was probably forecasted all day that there were storms that could potentially... Might even be lucky you even got on the stage at any point.
And did they want him wandering around the parking lot, knocking on car windows? Hey, there's just chance, you know, the lightning's coming.
Hey, man, I don't think we're going to start playing. But venues do sometimes not have the best communication. So I get that grievance, but that grievance isn't with Zach Bryan.
No, it's with the venue. No.
On a personal note, I saw Blink 182 in Milwaukee last year, I think. And Tom DeLonge was sick, so they couldn't sing. He couldn't sing like the last half of the set, so they rushed through the rest of the concert. I did not get my money back, but it was fine.
Of course not, Karen. Why would you get your money back?
All right, moving on real quick. Popstar takes action against AI.
Stay.
Okay, good. It's a quick one. Taylor Swift has filed a trademark for her voice and likeness. This is to combat advancements in AI, protecting phrases such as, "Hey, it's Taylor," in her voice. The filings fall under the rare sound mark category, the same trademark used for audio cues like Netflix's Dudum. That's why per se.
Thanks, Frank. Always a pleasure.
You're welcome.
When we come back, irony, your name is Donald Trump. We'll get to that and more. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:35 right now. We hope that you are having a great start to your Tuesday. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. That's how you get a hold of us. You can send us a text on you, a message on YouTube, on Facebook. You can text us. You can call us. If you call us, be nice to Parker because he's fragile. And so we like you to be nice to him so that he passes you on to us. That's all. That's how everything
that's
works.
Right.
Jamie, do you remember a lawsuit against CBS filed by our president over an interview with Kamala Harris that he claimed was heavily, heavily edited to slant the message in her favor?
Yes.
Okay, good. I think most of us do. And it led to CBS capitulating to Donald Trump, paying him off, which you could say, you could argue that maybe that led to the downfall of Stephen Colbert's show and the whole late night thing. It definitely led to bringing Barry Weiss into CBS and changing the whole editorial direction of CBS. I bring that all up because guess whose interview the other night with Nora O'Donnell on 60 Minutes was heavily, heavily edited?
Who? Big shocker on this one, and I don't think you have to go too far. Would it be the President of the United States?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yay, thank you,
Very
Parker.
Very good. Jamie wins.
It's like a gold star for the day.
Oh, my God. I can't believe. See, this is what drives me crazy.
Yeah.
It's the complete hypocrisy of the whole thing. So he sits down with Nora O'Donnell the day after the White House Correspondents' Dinner and the shooting there. And he sits for 40 minutes talking about all kinds of things, talking about the suspect, talking about his ball, talking about everything. Spoke for roughly 40 minutes. Only 13 minutes aired on television.
Yeah.
Now, Jamie, you're better at math than I am. We both struggle with math, but I think that's less.
That's
right?
less. Yeah, it's
13
less than
is
half.
Less than 40.
It's less than half. Less than half of
oh
the time
goodness.
He sat with Nora O'Donnell.
You added some fractions. All right. That's where
today.
He discussed media coverage. He criticized Democrats. He addressed conspiracy theories about the shooting, and he defended his plans for the White House ballroom. He also lashed out, as he loves to do, against not only reporters, but mostly female reporters. He lashed out at Nora O'Donnell. It was a little crazy.
It was, and I have to wonder if, and I haven't read the transcripts because those will be available online if you want to read the whole 40 minutes. Was this done because she actually pushed back? I mean, there were, in those 13 minutes, there's a moment where she pushes back a bit on the president, and so I'm trying to figure out why they would want to take the 40 minutes and bring it down to just 13, unless there was some sort of pushback. They didn't like the administration didn't like some of the things he said, how he handled some of the situation. I have no idea. I'm interested to read the transcripts when they are available.
Yeah, I would too, and I have to go back and rewatch the segment. I've only seen some pieces that were leaked. And I don't know if it might, to your point, when he had to defend not being a pedophile and not being a rapist. And that's when he snapped at Nora O'Donnell. Oh, I knew you would ask these questions because you're embarrassing. So, you know, he wants an interview that is him pontificating, basically.
Yes.
And someone fawning over him. And it's time. And slowly but surely, we're seeing more journalists push back.
Yes.
And that will mean probably less interviews with journalists who aren't on the far right wing.
I was just going to say, that's why you see the GOP and this administration tend to be on the more right-leaning networks and with the more right-leaning hosts, because there is less pushback. I always find it fascinating, though, and I love to always watch their reaction when those right-leaning networks also push back a little bit. You don't get the pushback that you do from, you know, like your Nora O'Donnell's, but sometimes they'll question something that they say, the member of the GOP or the administration, and the surprise and shock and awe.
Oh yeah,
It's funny for a second because they literally don't know how to handle that kind of pushback from a, we'll put it in air quotes, a friendly, as those things are
sometimes
termed.
I don't
think
you need to put air quotes around it. I think you're exactly right that they are the friendlies, and that's imagine talking to your friend and your friend actually is your friend and so says something to push back on what you said, and you're like, whoa, dude, we're supposed to be friends. They're like, I am your friend. That's why I'm telling you you're crazy.
Yes.
You're out of your mind. You need to stop. And I'll be honest, I think Nora O'Donnell is fine.
Sure.
She doesn't have a history as far as 60 Minutes and CBS Sunday Morning of really pushing back.
Right.
So maybe this
and
is... And CBS, of course, she probably has to be more careful.
I was
going to
say,
because
with
they've
Barry
already lost a lot of money.
With Barry Wise currently at the head of CBS, you've actually seen this even in their Sunday morning interviews, or in different versions of their news segments that they do. Since Barry Wise has come to lead CBS, there has been a lot less pushback and less actual reporting in the manner that I think a lot of us would like to see our legacy media hold. And
well, that's
and
why the
do.
Evening news ratings for CBS are in the garbage.
Yeah,
because people see it.
Barry Wise brought in a hand-picked anchor, and that's essentially what she did, and it has not gone, I think, the way that everybody in that scenario hoped it was going to go. People saw what was going on. They've reacted. They haven't been tuning in to CBS. They've been finding their news elsewhere. And that's the unfortunate part. If you're going to be a legacy media company who's going to fall into this trap of trying to appease this administration, that's what happens. CBS is a prime example of what happens.
And you know this from working in TV news, and I've been around a long time. Every interview that's going on TV, unless it's happening live, is being edited in some way. The problem becomes, are you editing it for time, or are you doing extensive editing to change the message?
Right.
And that's where the problem is. And that's, you know, now the Kamala Harris interview that Donald Trump had the settlement for, because he didn't go to court. He didn't win a lawsuit.
No.
They just settled with him.
Yes.
So he threatened them. They paid him off. And as we've seen before, paying him off does not buy any allegiance or anything else. But the point was, there was not nearly as much trimmed out of that Kamala Harris interview that he sued over as there was in this. It didn't change the focus of the interview. It didn't change the tone. This one, it appears, and like you said, we'll have to read the full transcript, but to take out 17 minutes,
mm-hmm.
7 minutes, no, seven.
Well, it was 40 minutes, see, and it's down to 13.
40 minutes, no, it's 13.
The math ain't
seven, 27 minutes. The math ain't mathing. The math ain't mathing. So a lot. They took out, as Jamie said, more than half.
Yeah.
That is definitely going to change the focus and the tone of an interview.
Of course.
So for all the people who are saying, see, the legacy media is doing blah, blah, blah. No, we always edit for time. They always edit something. And sometimes if it's not going to change, you know, you'll have somebody come to you and go, he really shouldn't have said that.
Right.
Can you take that out? Because it doesn't change the overall message. It doesn't clarify anything. It was a mistake. And then there's conversation and a decision is made.
Of course. And that's how media has always done things. Mm-hmm. It's just what it is. And whether you like it, whether you don't like it, I know it's different for different forms of media, but it's no different than if a newspaper reporter comes to you and says, will you have an off-the-record conversation? It's the same kind of concept, right?
Right.
You have to learn things. You have to earn trust from the people you work with so that you can essentially get them to continue to join you on programs, give their opinion, and it's a give or take. And as long as you are not, as you rightfully pointed out, Brian, not changing the overall intent of that interview, the content of that interview, this is a long-standing practice in media. It's just what it is.
Well, Jamie, Jimmy Kimmel's in trouble again.
Speaking of appeasing the administration.
Jimmy Kimmel. That Jimmy Kimmel and his wiseacredness.
This one is interesting because this is actually one that Melania is pushing, and the president just happened to chime in. But when we speak of capitulating and appeasing the administration, it puts Disney's new CEO in a really precarious situation. Josh D'Amaro has only been on the job for about 6 weeks, and now he is feeling the pressure to basically take a look at Jimmy Kimmel once again from a segment where he mocked the president and the first lady, specifically Melania, ahead of the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Parker.
Well, let's put it in context.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, let's hear this. No, play the audio. You're right. And then we'll give it context.
Our first lady, Melania, is here. Look at Melania. So beautiful. Mrs. Trump, you have a glow like an expectant widow.
That's it. That's the joke.
Okay, that's the joke. But let's put that joke in context. First of all, it didn't happen yesterday.
No.
After the shooting. This happened on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing an alternate White House Correspondents' Dinner because the basis of the whole thing was that this is the first time, because Donald Trump was attending, that they did not have a comedian opening the show. And that comedian was always there to roast. They would roast the administration. They would roast the media. They would roast themselves. It was one of those things to take a little gas out of the people who were pontificate
right.
for their living.
Yep.
It took a little bit of the self-importance away, not only from the administration, but from the journalists. And every president up until Donald Trump had sat through it. And they grinned and bared it, and they just, okay, we're going to go with it. So that is the context in this. So Jimmy Kimmel, during this alternative correspondent dinner, was roasting people,
mm-hmm.
and he made that joke. Now, 2 days later, this event happens at the White House correspondents dinner. But as we know, this guy was already in transit way before this. He did not call for that. He said last night that there was a joke about her age because they are very, very different in age.
Yes, very much.
There's a huge age difference. And she always looks so happy standing next to him. So had he made the joke last night, it would have been in horrible taste.
Oh, of course.
He made it the night before, and now they're calling for him to be ousted again.
And let's be clear, as of right now, there is no indication that Disney or ABC plans to take any sort of action in this moment. This is one of those cases, though, again, where the administration is going to use this as an opportunity to see if they can get rid of another late night talk show host. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen them do it with Colbert. And granted, you can tell me all about the economics. You can tell me all about the ratings. Come on now.
Well, the ratings were good.
The ratings were good. That's my point.
It was all allegedly economic.
Yes. We've watched that play out, and we watched what they already did to Jimmy Kimmel just a few months ago, basically trying to take him off the air. This is an extension of that. And
they are the most thin-skinned, whiny bunch of Karens that I have ever run across. Not one ounce of a sense of humor about themselves. Horrifying. Horrifying. Oh, well, what's next? Candidate endorsements. Do they matter to you? We'll find out. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. You are listening to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
We hope that your morning is going well so far. We've got some sunshine here in Madison. I love it. Maybe we'll get rid of these clouds for a little bit. It is 7:52 right now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. One to one, male, female. Chad, I gotta address this. Chad's one of the listeners who comments a lot on our YouTube stream, and that's great. We love Chad. We love having everybody here. You can always jump in, 855-75-CIVIC, or if you're watching on our Facebook or YouTube streams, you can comment there too. Somehow Chad thinks you've been bullied today, Jamie, and that we need more women, when really there's only two voices on the show. One is male. That would be me,
and today, I guess. I'll be honest, it was justified. I did walk all over Swiper Stay earlier in the show. It was completely justified today. So
yes, but I don't think, yes, Frank and Parker, both male producers, they're not on the show all that much. They're very important contributors to the show, but you know, and Parker would never say anything against you. He would.
I fall in line like nobody's business.
Parker is the most. Oh man, Parker should work in mainstream media, which he does. But he should be an exec because he capitulates to the boss all the time. So Parker, you don't have to worry about Parker. And Frank tries to be diplomatic because he has to balance both Jamie and my egos and personalities and everything else. So really, it's just the two of us. I don't.
It's good. And as I've said before, I'm outnumbered when I go home. I have two boys, and then I have my husband. Trust me, I can hold my own.
I don't believe that Jamie is a delicate flower that needs protect. I mean, I think we have all had our time in the barrel, as they like to say.
We have.
We've all been subject to, you know, a little, and that was just.
It's part of the chemistry that you build. And I can even admit that it was true this morning. I'll admit that I screwed it up.
Listen, if we had come after you just for some random thing that had no bearing on the truth, I would say, yeah, we gotta, you know, why are we picking on Jamie today? But it was justified. Okay, that one was justified.
It was totally justified.
Well, here, Jamie, you follow politics a lot. You've followed it for years. You've been involved in politics. How much does an endorsement that a candidate receives mean to you as a voter? And that's our question to you, too. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Do a candidate's endorsements really matter? Will they sway how you vote or inform how you vote?
For me personally, no. I mean, they're great, and I'm like, ooh, look at this group. They'd be all in on this. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter to me what the endorsements say or what they do, especially if we're talking, and we are going to momentarily talk about the gubernatorial primary for the Democrats and some of the different endorsements that have come down. Here's the thing. When you have a crowded primary like we do for governor on the Democratic side, seven candidates right now, at the end of the day, if you don't want to see a Republican governor in the state, you step in line and you vote for the person who wins the nomination. And I don't know for a lot of groups. Maybe it matters if you are in a union. Maybe it matters to those particular groups a little bit more. To me personally, it does not. It does not matter when I see the endorsements.
Yeah, I take them as an interesting addition. And maybe in a primary, and you could jump in with this story about it, but in the primary, it might, if I really don't have a pick out of the seven, if you're really just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, well, the teachers like this candidate, or somebody else likes this candidate, or maybe that might help me inform my decision a little more.
Yeah.
But once it gets down to the general, it doesn't mean anything to me.
I mean, and in this particular case, you look at Senator Kel DeRoys, who is running for governor. She received the support of the Wisconsin Educators Association Council. That's the state's largest teachers union. And she launched a week of campaigning centered around that endorsement. Now, if you're a teacher, that might be very important to you, knowing that she is someone who has gotten the seal of approval. She's got a strong plan for education. But when U.S. Senate Representative Ilhan Omar from Minnesota threw her weight behind Representative Francesca Hong, who's also running, of course, the Hong's base was very excited about this, more of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. But Hong also received a flood of angry and some really obscene messages on social media. Let's try to, you know, temper our expectations and
be better
than that. Yeah, people who denounced the Minnesota congresswoman. And we have a primary right now where any of these candidates could win because it's very, very close.
But an endorsement, I think two different kinds of endorsements can go two different ways. Now, teachers union, maybe you're anti-union, but a teacher's union endorsement is kind of neutral. You go, okay, that's very nice. But somebody like Ilhan Omar, even among Democrats, is going to raise a lot of feelings. Now, they shouldn't go to the profane kind of commentary, but it might be enough to go, well, wait, I don't know much about Francesca Hong. I know more about Ilhan Omar because of her thing. And if they're the same, I may not be, as an uninformed voter, I may not like this person who endorsed you, and if you're aligned with them, maybe I wouldn't like you as in office either.
And I'll be honest, if I am somebody in a really small town in rural Wisconsin and I'm just worried about how I'm going to feed my family and I'm really worried about my Medicare SNAP benefits, if I am worried about my house payment, my taxes, I don't care about the endorsements. I want somebody who's going to tell me how these things can be fixed and what we can do to bridge the gap between the Democrats and the Republicans and have a true and honest plan. That's what I care about. I don't know how many of us living day to day who aren't involved in politics and entrenched in it in some way actually care about these endorsements. Chad chiming in saying he doesn't care. Endorsements don't mean anything. True.
Chad only cares about equity on this program. That's where Chad falls in line. He needs to know. So when we come back, more headlines in hour three. If you're listening on WMDX in Madison, you could stick around on the free Civic Media app or go to YouTube or Facebook and follow the stream. If not, we will talk to you tomorrow. But we got to go. It's the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.